Guess that means whenever we get together, we're in the house of God, when God's people are together, wherever we are. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for all of the goodness and mercy that you have given us through all of our lives, and even today, Lord, we know that you are with us. We're grateful, God, that we can be together in your house, in your presence, in the presence of the family of God. We ask for your blessing and your anointing upon all of our worship, upon all of our fellowship, upon our prayers, that we may be pleasing to you and that we may be empowered and anointed, oh God, to be your witnesses in this world, in this present day. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours, we want you to know how much we appreciate you being here. If you have the opportunity, please fill out a connection card. If you're online, you can do that online. The bit.ly link, CGC Connection. Just a few points of interest to give us the opportunity to show you our appreciation. If you would do that. At this time, we want to show you a Christmas for Christ promotion video. I hope.
Hi, this is Joe Hanthorn, and it is my great honor and privilege to serve as a Wisconsin District North American Missions Director. I'm here to talk to you about Christmas for Christ. CFC began right here in the Wisconsin District more than 50 years ago with the simple belief that God gave us his best gift at Christmas time. And so we should give God our best each Christmas. Since it began, CFC has been providing valuable grants and resources for church planters and church plants all over North America. Right here in Wisconsin, we have a number of churches that exist today because of CFC giving. Last year, the Wisconsin District gave a record offering of over $200,000. And because of that, we had six churches right here in our own district received grants totaling $111,000. Our Wisconsin North American Missions Department was able to also provide grants, purchasing resources, baptismals, signage, office equipment, and other benefits for our local church planters. So thank you for your continued giving to this great offering. Here are just a few testimonies of the difference that your CFC giving has made.
We are Jeff and Jennifer Zimmerman. We pastor North Point Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's an amazing thing to see what God has done in 4 years. We started with just our family teaching Bible studies and weekly small groups, and the Lord has grown the church to over 71 people in attendance. CFC has been a blessing for us. We received last year an offering of $9,600. It has helped us to purchase baptismal robes, upgrade our sound system and our video system. It's helped us to purchase discipleship programs to retain our new converts. This year we have seen 28 filled with the Holy Ghost and 26 baptized in Jesus' name.
Hi, my name is Richard Thomas. This is my wife, Peggy. We are pastor of United Pentecostal Church of Stoughton, Wisconsin. We are so blessed to have a home missions department that has allowed us the liberty to pursue the dream that we had to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to Stoughton. The CFC grant has been an amazing tool. We came there with very little money or very little resources. Last year alone, we received over $15,000 in rent assistance, plus Home Missions Department provided us a brand new sign, which I'm very grateful for.
I'm Ellery Campsell. I pastor in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. We've been in Wauwatosa for coming on 3 years now. Started with a very small group, and God has allowed us to grow. We've seen substantial growth in the people that we started with and the new members that God has brought to us. We've seen great depths in their lives, their walks with God as well. Because of the CFC grant, we've been able to focus on outreach and not have to worry about the monthly bills. We've been able to have external speakers come in periodically, which is a huge boost to the people in our church. There's one lady who had been seeking Holy Ghost for 9 years. We brought in a minister to minister to us on a midweek, and she received the Holy Ghost during that, and we were able to do things like this because of the giving of the grants from CFC.
Please allow me, on behalf of these wonderful missionaries, to thank you for your sacrificial giving right here at the holiday season. Thank you for putting Christ first at Christmas time. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Thank you for giving to Christmas for Christ.
Thank you for giving to Christmas for Christ.
Thank you for giving to Christmas for Christ.
We were going to get the closed caption version, but we decided to dub it over instead. Sorry about that. Hopefully we'll get that worked out. Praise God. That Christmas for Christ, as you know, is very important to the work of North American missions. Those testimonies that you heard today is just a one-time, one-year effect. And the impact of that 1 year is enormous in our district and in our nation. All across the nation, these Christmas for Christ funds go towards people who have committed themselves to plant churches and do the work of God. And as a result, hundreds of thousands of souls will be reached this year because of your giving to Christmas for Christ. Praise God. Please consider that our offering date is the same day as our Christmas program, and that is December 18th. But of course, you can give at any time. We do have envelopes out in the vestibule. You can choose those envelopes, the amount you want. Each one has an amount listed on it. You can use any combination or any one of them in order to remind yourself how much you're pledging to give to Christmas for Christ. And hopefully, by the time we get to December 18th, you'll have that envelope filled up with that amount, and you can turn it in on that date. And of course, if you can't make it by December 18th, you'll still have time afterwards. We kind of extend that deadline because we know how pressing it is during the holiday season to come up with a little extra. Of course, the beginning of Christmas for Christ was right here in Madison, Wisconsin, and the idea was to give your best gift to Jesus Christ. So please pray about that and consider giving to Christmas for Christ. Our giving options are listed on the board there. You can give online at our website. You can give in person. You can always give by snail mail or by our Church Center app. You can do mobile giving. Amen. And of course, that goes for all of our offerings. We encourage you to use those same options as far as tithes and offering on a regular basis. This Saturday evening, ladies' Christmas shopping from Saturday morning to early afternoon, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Ladies' Christmas shopping. See Sister Lindsay Simmons for more details. Next Wednesday, December 14th, we'll have a special service here. Sister Vicki Vernon will be teaching the whole church. Amen. We're going to be talking about praying for people at the altar, seeing people saved, helping people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, helping people pray to have their needs met when they come to the altar. So please make it a point to be here and let the Lord encourage you in your prayer ministry. Winter storm reminder. We haven't had any real snow. We've had a little bit here and there. But as far as service cancellation goes, this is how we will be handling it. When there is a winter storm warning, everyone say a warning, then we will not be having service if there's a winter storm warning on that day, that service time. To make sure you get storm impact communications, contact the church office to get added to our automated phone call list. We send out a one call, but you have to be on the list. You have to be part of the one call, the Church Center app, and connect to CGC Madison. Messages will be sent through that system. So we're trying to avoid any kind of confusion, letting you know up front, and you need to get connected if you're not already so that we can send out that call when there's information to be shared. Praise God. Why don't we stand and go to the Lord with worship at this time?
Thank you. Holy, holy, holy God. times, folks. Expected me to say, praise the Lord, church. You can be seated this evening. It is so great to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. It's so great to see Sister Beulah Lee. And I just saw her here tonight, and it just did my heart good. Continue to pray for her. And she just never seems like you never age, Sister Beulah Lee. I don't know what your secret is. But also, I've encouraged a number of our, or all of our families to spend some time in some sort of an Advent calendar or finding a passage of Scripture to read to your family or your children every day. And I just want to thank those that are doing this, taking the effort. I got word today that the Neesums, Nate and Lauren, bought their kids some Advent calendars. And little Wesley wanted to sleep on the couch. And they kind of did a little investigating. And he's already on December 18th in his Advent calendar. So he's figured out that every day's Bible verse has a chocolate behind it. And so he'll be at Christmas and be past Christmas long before the rest of us get there. But nevertheless, I encourage you. I got mine today. Thank you, Linda Neesom. I haven't opened up the chocolates yet. My wife's like, are you going to catch up yet? And I'm like, no, I'm going to savor the moment. So also congratulations to Brother Kevin Brown, who received his local minister license this past week. So now we have Brother and Sister Brown are both locally licensed and excited for them. And we also just next Wednesday evening, Sister Vicki Vernon will be speaking to us. And I opted to have her speak to the whole congregation because I feel this is something that we can all be a part of. But our altar work, they're going to be doing a just kind of an altar worker seminar for us here. And it's a very critical function, a very critical portion. We're going to change things up a little bit in our altar. One of the things that are going to be changing is in the past it's been under Brother and Sister Smith, Brother Ben and Sister Victoria, and they will be taking they've started a daughter work preaching point in Janesville. And they're meeting every other Sunday, and after the first of the year, as we get into next year, they're looking at starting to go to every Sunday services. And so with that change up, they're not going to be able to be here as often. And they're still part of Calvary Gospel Church. We still support them and appreciate their ministry. But Brother Jerry and Sister Lindsay Simmons will be taking over that responsibility, and we're going to kind of shift it under to our outreach ministry, our outreach department here. So that'll be coming up, and we'll be bringing you up to speed on some of the changes that we want to do in our altar as we get closer to that time. So next Wednesday evening, Sister Vicki Vernon will be speaking, and we're excited about that. Now, we've been in a series, or we started a series last week, and we talked about 'Tis the Season. And every year I kind of do a Christmas theme, perhaps, and this year is no different. And we were talking about the stresses that come around holiday time. And tonight we're going to talk about, I had mentioned this last week, that we're going to be talking about stinking thinking or how to overcome toxic thinking or toxic thoughts through the holidays. Now, I put up 'Tis the Season, and sometimes we think my crazy family, relatives, my toxic brother-in-law, we have all these. I was talking with my sister-in-law this past week, and she brought up something, and just in conversation, and we're talking about Christmas and our plans for Christmas, and now I just want you to understand, you don't have to be a dysfunctional family. Okay, so this isn't saying, well, this is just for folks that are dysfunctional. We just sometimes have conflicts with other family members. Doesn't mean that you're bad and there's something wrong with you, or doesn't mean they're bad and there's something wrong with them. It could be a little of both. And But she began to, talk about our plans for Christmas and getting together. She said, well, you know, if so-and-so's here, then so-and-so's probably not going to be coming because they won't be in the same room with this person. And, you know, I kind of began to think about this, and I began to think about how sad it is that we are at Christmas and the Prince of Peace was born into this world. And as family, whether it be your spiritual family or your biological family, your physical family, we just don't get along with everybody. So the holidays are stressful. We have schedules. We have packed to-do lists. The ladies are going shopping next Saturday. I don't know when the guys get to go. I'm not for sure how come the ladies always get shopping days and the guys, I guess maybe because the guys, it would just be Cabela's or Farm and Fleet or Fleet Farm, and that's pretty much it. I don't know. Followed up by maybe one of those beef jerky shops or something like that. But nevertheless, we get packed do lists. We see people that we don't often see. We maybe only see them at Easter, perhaps, and we tolerate it at best, and then maybe it's you get together once as a family at a family reunion, and if your family's anything like our family's, no different as all of the family members of one parents, they all sit together, and you got another little group over here and another little group over here, and we're supposed to all be together for a family reunion, but we're all sitting separately. That's their part of the park, and this is their part of the park, and this is their part of the park, and we all get together at the dinner table where we get the food, and then we go our separate ways, and you can go through a family reunion and not really meet anybody outside of your immediate family. So we always have, every family has that one relative in their family. I put up here my toxic brother-in-law, kind of a joke. There's a lot of funny Christmas-themed movies out there, and I remember, I don't know which one it was, one of those Christmas vacation movies, and they had the toxic brother-in-law. I don't remember what his name was, Claude or Clyde or something like that. Anybody remember that? Had the RV, dumped the RV sewer into the right out in front of the house. What, Eddie? Some of you are. Was that National Lampoon, Christmas Vacation? Some of you are fans. We all have a brother-in-law like that, don't we? Maybe we're that brother-in-law. I began to think about this, and I thought, you know, man, every family has one. And I'm like, well, what if my family thinks I'm that one? You know, so we have all of this, and to top it all off, there's the pressure to make everything magical for everybody. You want to have a big Christmas spread. You want everybody to come over, and you want to make sure that everything is perfect for everybody that's there. You want mom and dad to be perfect, and you want all the cousins and the nieces and nephews and brothers and sister-in-laws, Lord help us, perfect. It's got to be perfect. Especially when these holiday, we think about all of the things that vie for our attention, our toxic thoughts. We begin to think about family, and we don't want to necessarily go there, but sometimes life just takes us down roads we don't really always want to go down, or conversations happen that you're like, boy, I didn't see that one coming. So we look at this and talk about toxic, holiday-induced toxic thoughts that creep into our mind, as Bishop says, stinking thinking, thoughts that creep into our mind. What do I mean by toxic thoughts? I'm going to talk a little bit. We're going to kind of go across the board here tonight, but to our moms and dads, our parents that are here, let's look at some holiday hypothetical thought patterns. Can we do that? Can you just bear with me a little bit here? How many of you are good at mind reading? We have one person here. Congratulations. Now, I said mind reading, not facial expression responses, which is a whole different thing when it comes to couples. Thank you, Brother Millen, for being so brutally honest with us here tonight. I'm not good at mind reading. Now, this thought pattern can be especially prevalent between husbands and wives at this time of year. The wife comes out and she has on a new holiday outfit, and the husband doesn't say anything about this new holiday outfit. And the husband thinks, she barely looked at what I bought her. Or maybe she just tossed it back in the box. We're opening gifts around the tree. And my gift, she didn't even hardly even pay it any attention. She probably hates it. All while the wife is thinking, because we're not mind readers. Boy, husband did good on this outfit. I'll thank him later. But nobody commented on my stuffing. I tried a new recipe and nobody commented on it. And they must not like it. Or why did my sister-in-law offer, I'll cook next year. I know it's a lot for you. I'll cook next year. And you begin to think, your mind starts going in all different directions. My mother-in-law. Whew. Let's just stop there. Fortune-telling. You ever, last year we had conversations, perhaps with your family. We talked about this a little bit, COVID and all, and we had all of this controversy with vaccines or not vaccines or no vaccines and politics. And this year it's probably going to be worse. Have you read my crazy brother-in-law's Facebook posts? Oh, my word. It's going to be interesting this year. At Christmas time. So we have this all or nothing thinking. If I can't afford the gift that my spouse really wants, why even bother trying? I just can't afford that woman. I love those commercials where the husband, Christmas morning, the wife wakes up and they're in this pristine million-dollar house in suburbia, USA, and the snow is outside and the driveway, it's perfect. And sitting in the driveway is a $75,000 SUV with a beautiful bow around it, as if the husband did that himself. And he wishes his wife a Merry Christmas. So in order to have a Merry Christmas at my home, I guess I have to go buy my wife a BMW SUV. I found out that, you know, after buying Christmas presents for my mom and dad for 40-plus years, I just buy them a gift card. What do you buy? What do you buy for somebody that has everything? It's hard. So if you're that all or nothing and you're struggling, just get a gift card. You can't mess that up. So we want to talk about how do you stop? A couple ways to stop that stinking thinking, toxic thoughts in their tracks before they get an inroad into your mind and you begin to go off on a tangent. Perhaps your spouse, a co-worker, your family, or that one brother-in-law or sister-in-law in your family. Number one is to recognize toxic thoughts before they take hold. This is something that, you know, the enemy doesn't want you to have a good Christmas. He wants chaos in your life no matter what holiday it is, no matter what you're doing. The enemy just wants your life to be as miserable as he can make it for you. So toxic thoughts and thinking patterns can be pretty sneaky at times. It often starts with some little kernel of truth that maybe gets distorted and eventually is turned into a weapon against ourselves or others. You or your spouse or someone in your family makes a mistake. And then something out of anyone's control, something somewhere goes wrong, and then the stress distorts the reality of the mistake, and before you know it, you've created a mortal sin in front of the whole family. Isn't this how it can work? I remember as a little guy, I was 5, 6 years old, and we used to go to the Grandma Smith's house and then go to Grandma Grant's house for Christmas. And I remember at my Grandma Smith's house, my Grandma Smith did not like my Uncle Lynn's mom. And she let everybody know she didn't like her. I think her name was Arlene or Arlette or something like that. And she would just go off on a tangent about, well, I tell you what, Lynn Wallace needs. My Uncle Lynn was a big man, big man. He probably had Brother Repka by a little bit. And he wasn't a guy that looked very intimidating, but his mother just, man, whatever she wanted, he would run over there and do. And my Grandma Smith, that just grated on her. But you know what? Those toxic thoughts, it's funny. We laugh about some of this stuff. But here it is, 50 years later, I still can hear her voice ringing out and calling out this lady's name and it was always just little stuff that really didn't much matter. But you allow those little mistakes, the stress of the situation, oftentimes will distort the reality of the mistake. And before you know it, it's just like, oh Lord, how do we put this genie back in the bottle? It sucks all the Christmas spirit right out of the room. The lights go dim. The tinsel falls off. The tree looks deader. You know, the, I almost said fruitcake. My word, does anybody here like actually eat fruitcake? You really, Roman, you eat fruitcake? You're one of those. They make 500 million of these a year, and you've got half of them. No. I found out fruitcake makes really good door stoppers. So nevertheless, okay, where stress level climbs, just remember, the reality is that where grace abounds, when stress abounds, grace will abound. You just have to take and pull everything. The Bible talks about bringing every thought into captivity. You have to bring those toxic thoughts into captivity. You have to control them. You have to be the Christian in the family. Not all of our families are Christian. Some of our families profess to be Christians but aren't Christians. Some of the best Christians I know are heavy drinkers and smokers. And they can cuss like sailors. But they're Christians, and you can't argue the fact that they're not. So be the Christian. Be the Christ-like one. So the next step is you have to replace those toxic thoughts with helpful, happy thoughts. We talked about this a while back. Peter Pan, happy thoughts, all of that stuff. This really isn't a Peter Pan message, but it does not always have to be a spiritual thought. I'm not trying to downplay this, but when you get in, when you lock it up with your brother-in-law or sister-in-law, you don't automatically have to think Ephesians chapter 6. You don't always have to, you can think about something less painful like a root canal. You don't always, doesn't always have to be a spiritual thought. It can just be something that's a pleasant thought, a happy thought, on the various places you'd rather be than here. Be ready with gracious truths to replace the toxic thoughts. I know people that I've never heard them speak ill of anybody. If you say something, I've tried to bait people just to see if I could get them to say something. And there are those few people that you can bait them. It sounds kind of nasty almost, doesn't it? But you try to get them sucked into a conversation, and they won't say anything bad about anybody. Well, you know, we don't always think the same. You know, we don't always have to like the same things. Be ready with gracious thoughts to replace those toxic thoughts. You know what? Your spouse is only human. Poor fellow's doing the best he can, a little humor here. We all have that one coworker. Be ready with gracious truths. That's called a compliment. Be ready to compliment someone, to replace those stinking, thinking, toxic thoughts. Christmas, listen, just hear me out. Christmas is not a time to engage in all things political. Okay? Leave it alone. I know it's hard for some of us sometimes, but just leave it alone. God is not Democrat, and he's not Republican. He's not independent. He's not Green Party. God is sovereign all unto himself. He is not Baptist. He's not Presbyterian. He's not Catholic, and he's not Pentecostal. God is all unto himself. He doesn't need any of those religions or denominations to determine who or what he is. He was before all of that. He doesn't need our help. So just leave it alone. Now, witnessing to a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law is one thing. The opportunity arises, but Christmas, leave it alone. Replace what you're really thinking. Proverbs 29:11. A lot of us will be reading this on the 29th day of the month. But this verse was designed by God, especially for men that go shopping for clothes with their wife. I'm just saying, God put this in there for us, guys. It says, only a fool speaketh his whole mind. I'm just saying, I'm trying to have a little humor here. It's true. When the wife comes out of that dressing room and says, how do I look? You better be careful. Oh, Paul nails it with Romans 8:39. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not even a slip of the tongue. Not even my brother-in-law or my nephew or my in-laws. Nothing can separate me. Remember, husbands, love your wives, even at Christmas time. You know, sometimes it's funny. God has a sense of humor. Sometimes we pray for God to change our spouse, and he changes us instead. Remember, be careful about criticizing. I heard a man once go on and on and on about how stupid his wife was. He just went on, wouldn't stop. Finally kind of got a little bit worn out by it. And I said, well, why did you marry her then? Think about this. When you're criticizing your spouse, no matter which way it goes, if you're criticizing your spouse for their stupidity and their ignorance and how dumb they are and how they never get it, you married them. Where does that put you in the line of intelligence? Just a thought. Think about that one through. Our next point, before we run out of time here, sometimes we need to reimagine our expectations. This is a really big one. This is something that goes far beyond just Christmas. But oftentimes, toxic thought patterns surface during the holidays especially, simply because we have unrealistic expectations. This can cause a lot of frustration during these holiday times in our lives. It can also cause a lot of frustrations during our anniversaries, during those birthdays. Before the holidays are upon us full force, now is a time for you as an individual or you as a family to sit down and evaluate, what do I expect from Christmas 2022? What do I expect to get? Not as gifts, but what are my expectations out of this season? I've discovered that most conflicts in my life are caused by one thing and one thing only, And that is misunderstood expectations. Think about it. Most conflicts we have on our jobs are because we don't understand the expectations from the boss man. Most conflicts in our marriage are because we don't understand or haven't made clear the expectations, what we expect from each other. Are we expecting ourselves, our spouses, our families, the ambiance, all the decorations, the food, and the weather? Everything must be perfect in every way. What was Mary Poppins practically perfect in every way? Listen, it ain't going to happen. But sometimes we expect it to happen. So it's either going to be practically perfect in every way, or it's going to be a dreadful disappointment, all based upon what our expectations are. We have to identify at times self-made demands. Why do we expect everything and everyone to have to be perfect at Christmas? Or at this holiday, or that holiday, or my birthday, everything has to be perfect. You see, the issue with dealing with unrealistic expectations is really a cancer, if I could put it that way, that is affecting almost every area of our society. We deal with this, we watch movies and TV shows, and there's music lyrics and all kinds of things that other forms of entertainment which convince us that these illusionary types are what's normal and what we deserve in a relationship. We watch Hallmark Christmas movies, and everything is so perfect. Everything works out absolutely perfect. I don't do this a lot, maybe because there's a lot of Christmas movies out there, but I remember that While You Were Sleeping, she had, I don't remember the whole plot and all this and that, but I'm working on it here. It's a chick flick, okay? I'm more into the John Wayne and Ujima type thing, you know, but anyway, there were some unrealistic expectations going on, and the whole premise of the whole plot was really dealing with an unrealistic expectation of what you saw versus what was reality. And we live in a world where everybody looks at everything in a lens of a perfect expectation. I married this man. He should be perfect. My wedding has to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. And the result is we convince ourselves that this is normal, that I deserve a perfect husband. You didn't expect this, did you? I deserve a perfect spouse. I deserve a perfect Christmas. You don't deserve nothing. Unfortunately, we get what we get. And it's by the grace of God that we're even able to have salvation. That's not saying that you don't deserve nice things. Just take it in context. I want everyone to have a beautiful, as perfect as it can be, holiday season. But sometimes we burden ourselves and we burden those around us by placing unrealistic expectations upon them. There are times when we feel burdened by the unrealistic expectations that are placed upon us by others. Sometimes our relatives come to the house, or they expect everything to be perfect. They expect the house to smell like Christmas. They like that pumpkin pie and the pine boughs and all of that. Instead, it smells like diesel fuel. It just happens. We have these unrealistic. In either case, it's not a healthy construct, nor is it a personality characteristic that a Christian should possess. We shouldn't expect everything to always be perfect. Unrealistic expectations are potentially damaging because they set us up and they set others up for failure. Now, I'm by no means a professional counselor. Okay? However, I do know that the Bible is true and that the Bible is reliable for every type of personality trait under the sun. And we can simply base everything upon what the Bible teaches, and the Bible teaches me to have control over my personality, my thought, and it also tells me that if I have a problem in these areas, that according to 1 Corinthians 6:11, I can change it. The Bible teaches me that I am not perfect. I can change. If I have issues, personality issues, or I have attitude issues, or I have thought problems or issues, I can change that. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 that to practice patience and long suffering. And in 2 Timothy 2:24 to be gentle and kind without being quarrelsome. Don't go around picking fights just for the sake of trying to win an argument. Romans 14:13 tells me that we need to communicate openly with each other. We get into Matthew 5 and Colossians 3 and James 5, and it instructs us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing each other in all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. And Philippians 2:4 tells me to let each of you look not out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of other people. I don't live on this planet by myself. There's 8 billion other folks that share this planet with us. So having unrealistic expectations of someone else or even ourselves is not what God desires in us. It does not reflect Jesus Christ in our lives. So we got to ask ourselves, after all we have and always fulfilled, have we always fulfilled the expectations that God has for us? Isn't it funny sometimes, Brother Millen, that we expect a whole lot more out of others? And we seem to ignore the fact of what God expects out of us. We like to say, well, I'm not perfect, God. I'm not perfect. Well, neither is your brother or your sister or your nephew or your brother-in-law, sister-in-law, mother-in-law. Nobody is perfect. In life, we have to understand things just might go wrong because they often do. But we have a choice as to how we respond when things go wrong. My last point I want to make today is very simple. There's no sugarcoating it. The holidays can be a challenge. Some of our deepest pains and losses and fears have a way of coming out like we're trying to take and hide that ugly Christmas sweater. But you know, we have an option that is a phenomenal, powerful option. And that is, we can always return to our knees and pray. Even the past hurts from our marriage can surface. We can wear out We could complain. We could gripe. But you see, it's His love. It's His acceptance. And the delight of our souls we should crave at their deepest level. This holiday season, this Christmas season, it's not about us. Isn't it so funny how society has made it all about us? It's all about Him. It's all about Him. You see, we breathe in His love. We breathe in His mercy, His grace. So as you breathe in His love, mercy, and grace this holiday season, offer those toxic thoughts to God in prayer. Say, God, I don't expect a perfect season. I don't expect everything to be perfect. The pie won't be perfect. The stuffing won't be perfect. The tree may wilt and die and needles fall off before Christmas gets here. All the Advent calendars may be emptied out before we get halfway there. It's not all going to be perfect. And we shouldn't expect it to be. Let's stand. You see, even if we focus on giving thanks, this year winds up being solely that Jesus understands our sorrows. He understands you have no idea. You have no idea what that loudmouth brother-in-law is going through right now in his life. Sometimes people lash out. We've heard this, hurting people hurt. So our challenge tonight, I want to really challenge you. I want you to understand, I'm not trying to water down altar calls. I'm not trying to make it into some kind of a special side session or whatever of the sermon or the message, but this is where we take what we hear and we challenge ourselves with it. Because if we're not going to apply what we hear, what we listen, what we learn, if we're not going to apply it to our lives, I'm just going to tell you, you're wasting your time. You see, we have to remember we listen and then we apply it. And apply is a verb which denotes an action. So what are our action points? What are we going to do with what we hear tonight? What expectations do you have this year that might be just a bit out of touch with reality? You know, if you want snow for Christmas and you live in Phoenix, it probably ain't going to happen unless you go to the mountains. But sometimes we set expectations just simply a little bit out of touch with reality. We need to challenge ourselves this year to find time with your spouse, with your family, with that close friend. Talk over those holiday expectations. We said, well, Pastor, I'm single, I live alone. Sit down and write down what are your expectations out of this season. What do you expect out of this? Determine where you need to cut back to keep a healthy balance. What situations cause you to lean toward toxic thoughts during the holidays, and how can I avoid that? So stepping into something that you shouldn't step into, or getting involved in a conversation. I love my family. I love my wife's family, but I'm sorry, I had two brother-in-laws. I just couldn't hang out with them during holiday because it was always, man, it was a shooting match. It got loud. I just didn't want to go there. So what situation can you learn or cause you to lean? We have a lot of blended families, and yes, the holidays can be very stressful. So I want to encourage you, before you get in a pickle, pray for the pickle. Before you get into a mess at the relatives, or before they get in a mess at your house, before you have all of the folks over for Christmas, get your family together or get together by yourself and say, Lord, I want to pray. I want to pray that peace would fall upon this place. That even though everything's not perfect and I expected it to be better, but it's not, Lord, I just want your peace. Pray now. Not later, in the middle of a mess, for God to take hold of your thoughts when your thoughts have already been like a runaway train. Oh, we can say so much in so little time and cause so much trouble. Bite your tongue before you say it. Pray before you say it. And let peace and let love and let patience be the rule of the day. And your life this holiday season. So action points, altar challenge. We'll open up our altar tonight. As a family, if you'd like to pray as a family, as an individual, that's your call. Sister Brittany, lead us in a song. God bless you. Word Again Church. I just want to leave you with this. We talked about altar challenge, and action points. What expectations you have this year or this Christmas that might be a little bit out of touch with reality. Find time with your spouse or your family, a close friend or yourself. You live alone. Talk over what are those holidays? What do I expect? And what areas do you need to cut to keep back, to keep a healthy balance in your life? What situations would cause you to lean toward toxic thoughts during the holidays? Maybe this message is setting something off inside of you and you're frustrated. And as I said, we have a lot of blended families, and the holidays can be very stressful. So pray now. Pray now, not later. When you're in the middle of the mess, for God to take hold of your thoughts. And remember, let peace, love, and patience. Peace, love, and patience. Peace, love, and patience. All fruits of the Spirit. To be the rule of the day this holiday season. So let bananas, apples, and yes, maybe little blueberries, if you remember back from our series, be the rule of the day in this holiday season. God bless you. Have a very blessed night, and we will see you back here on Sunday morning. Thank you, Sister Brittany, Sister Sarah, Brother Jamin, our sound folks, overhead, and everybody in the back. Thank you so much for making this happen. God bless you.